As we prepared our hearts for God's Word tonight, would you open up your Bibles with me to the New Testament, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians 10. And I don't think it's a big secret around here about how much I love to eat. I know what you're thinking as you are looking at me on this platform. You are thinking, man, I can't tell by looking at you, Pastor Rich, 185 pounds of slim and trim. But I do love to eat, and I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that I am Italian, and Italians love to eat. And just about all of my relatives, my aunts and my uncles and my cousins and their children and their grandchildren all live overseas in Italy and Sicily. And we went there a little over a month ago and visited them, and we brought our soon-to-be 10-year-old son Elijah with us so he can meet all of those relatives for the first time in his life. He's never seen them in person before. And after we got home, I asked Elijah, I said, Elijah, how was that experience for you? What did you like the best about the 12 days that we spent in Italy? And I'm expecting the first words to come out of Elijah's mouth to be something like, Dad, I really like meeting all the relatives for the first time. Or I really loved going and visiting some of those places in person that you read about in the Bible or you read about in early Christian history. I thought those places were so cool. I'm expecting Elijah to say those things, but the first words that came out of Elijah's mouth that he said he liked the most was the... How did you know? Like father, like son. He really enjoyed that real Italian gelato. It doesn't get much better than that. I am so thankful that God created the ingredients to make gelato. And I wish we could duplicate that here in the United States. And, you know, Elijah looked forward to those Italian feasts that we had every night that were cooked by my relatives, that authentic Italian supper every evening.
That was a very special time for us.
But tonight we're talking about another special time that we celebrate called the Lord's Supper. It's not a feast. I probably wouldn't even call it a supper. It's a piece of cracker and a sip of orange or a sip of grape juice. So if you came tonight expecting dinner, you might be disappointed. But the focus of the Lord's Supper is not the supper. It's the sacrifice. It's not about the food, but it's about what was finished, about what was accomplished. And we find out here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 what was accomplished. Look with me at chapter 10, verse number 16. Paul writes, he says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? So the cup in this passage represents the blood that was shed on that cross. Without the blood, Jesus said in Matthew, in God's word, he said, without the blood, there can be no remission or forgiveness of sins. And we like to sing about the blood of Jesus. We like to sing about how it takes our dirty, our filthy, our dark sin, and it washes it clean as white as snow. Paul writes in verse number 16 that the bread represents Jesus Christ's body. Jesus, the bread of life. And that bread represents his physical body that was sacrificed on the cross that God accepted as payment for all of our sin. And now you and I, all of us who believe on Jesus Christ and believe on Jesus' substitutionary death, are his spiritual body. We're his spiritual body that can reflect and we can remember and we can appreciate and we can be eternally grateful about how Jesus sacrificed his physical body, the bread, and shed his blood for us. Look with me at verse 17. Paul continues and he writes, for we, being many, are how many bread? One bread. And how many body? One body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. Well, how can that be? How can I go from being in the many to be included in the one bread and be included in the one body? You do it by becoming one with Jesus Christ. Paul said it's by partaking of Christ in this verse. And the word partaking in this verse means to participate in, to share, and to belong to. I love that hymn that has the phrase, I belong to Jesus. Because if you believe, you belong. If you believe in Jesus Christ, and if you believe in what he has done for you, you belong to him, and he belongs to you. You are in Christ. You are in the family of God. You, being many, are now one bread and one body. And it's because of your faith, and it's because of your belief in Jesus Christ, partaking in that one bread, the bread of life, Jesus Christ. The Lord's Supper is not about the supper. It's about the sacrifice. And that should be our focus. You see, in the next few verses in God's word, there were some believers that forgot the focus. Look with me at verse 21. Paul continues and he says to these believers in Corinth, Greece, he says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers, there's that word again, of the Lord's table and the table of the devils. Paul's addressing these believers, and they had one foot in the church, and they had one foot in the world. They were one person at church, and they were another person outside of church. They were one person at work, but they were another person at home. They were doing things that were pleasing the Lord in certain places, but they were putting a smile on the devil's face with some of the things they were doing in other places. They had forgotten the focus. The book of James says that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Paul said to these believers, if you're a believer in Christ, you can't forget the focus. Why? Because you are now part of God's family. You are a child of the King of Kings. You are a child of God. Look with me once again at verse 21. Paul says, ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Paul said, if you are a believer in Christ, you can't be both for God and against God. You can't be both for Satan and against Satan. You can't ride the fence. Paul's saying, you've got to be all in. You need to be all in to Jesus Christ, your Savior, your Redeemer, your Sustainer, your life. You need to be an obedient child to your Heavenly Father. Those of us with children, we want our children to be obedient to us as parents. We expect obedience. But as God's children, are we obedient to Him? I think that's what Paul's trying to get at. We can't ride the fence. We can't partake of the Lord's table and also partake of the table of devils. Hold your place here in 1 Corinthians 10. We'll come back in a moment, but I want you to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter number 1. And in 1 Peter chapter number 1, there's a cross-reference here that I think fits so well that I want to share with you this evening. We were at my parents' house for lunch yesterday. We usually go there for lunch every Saturday to get some good Italian cooking. And while we were there for lunch yesterday, we were sitting down with other family members, and we were talking about new Christian songs, and one person was playing their song on their phone, and someone else was playing their song on their phone. Did you like this new song? And so we were exchanging Christian songs and also just exchanging Bible verses with each other as we were just sitting in the living room after lunch. And while we were there, my niece Jessica, who is on fire for the Lord, reminded me of this verse that goes along so well about what Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Look with me at verse number 14, 1 Peter 1:14. And Peter writes, he says, as what kind of children? He says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. You know, Peter in verse number 13, just before that, he said to gird up the loins of your mind. You know, Peter's saying, think clearly about this. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Think clearly about this. In verse 13, he says at the end of that verse, you will come face to face with Jesus Christ one day. So today, Peter says in the next verse, be obedient children of God. Peter says, don't live like you were before you were a believer in Jesus. Don't live according to your own fleshly desires. Why? Because Peter says, now you know better. You're not living in ignorance. As a child of God, as a believer in Jesus Christ, we now know better. We know that it's not about us, but it's about him. So Peter says, be holy in all manner of conversation. Be holy in everything that you do. Be all in other words, to Jesus Christ. So you can let your light shine in a world of darkness. You know, if you turn back to the 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 21, as we mentioned, says that you can't be partakers. You can't belong. You can't belong both to God and the devil, and your actions will show who you really belong to. And Paul's trying to emphasize to us, as we said, to be all in to Jesus Christ. Because when you are not all in, if you're partaking of the table of the Lord and you're partaking of the table of the devils, if you're one person here at church and you're another person here outside of church, what message does that say to God? What message is that giving to God? Paul tells us in verse 22. He says, this is the message that we send to God when we're not all in for Jesus Christ. Verse 22, he says, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? The message that we send to God is that we think we're more powerful than God. Man, can you and I create something out of nothing? Absolutely not. Can you and I rain down food from heaven? It's not a trick question. Absolutely not. Can you or I cause a miraculous virgin birth to take place? Absolutely not. Can you and I raise someone from the dead? Absolutely not. We're not as powerful as we think we are, are we? The fact of the matter is, as Jesus said in John 15:5, without him, we can do nothing. Look with me at verse 26. It says, for the earth is the who? The Lord's. And the fullness thereof. And the fullness thereof. We are not stronger than God. Satan is not stronger than God. So why would we not want to be sold out to Jesus Christ and be all in and just partake of the table of the Lord and forsake the table of the devils? It's easy to get caught up in the everyday things of this life and of this world and forget our focus. The focus is remembering what Jesus has done for us, what Jesus still does for us, and what Jesus will do for us. And when we forget the focus, Paul tells us that not only does it affect us in inflating our ego and thinking we're much bigger and stronger than we really are, but Paul tells us something that we already know. He tells us that when we forget the focus, when we are partaking at the Lord's table one night and we're dining at the devil's diner the next night, it sends mixed messages to others. to your spouse, to your kids, to your family, to other Christians that see you one way at church, and then they see you outside of the church, and they're like, whoa, man, didn't I just see that person in church on Sunday, and they were praising the Lord and lifting holy hands in the hymn, singing praises unto God, and is that that same person? Look with me at verse 23. Paul writes as he continues here, and he says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient or beneficial. All things are lawful for me, Paul says, but all things, what? Edify not. You know, when you lose your focus, you do things that are pleasing to the devil, is what Paul says. Hey, they might not be against the law. You might not be breaking any laws, local, state, federal. You might not be breaking any laws, but man, you can do things when you lose your focus that are pleasing to the devil. And Paul says, hey, just because you can do something, just because you can do something, and it is legal and you won't get thrown in jail for it, it doesn't mean it's okay with God. At the end of verse number 23, Paul uses the phrase, all things edify not. There are things you can do that will not build up your walk with the Lord. It won't build up your spouse. It won't build up your kids. And it will not build up anyone else around you. But it'll do the exact opposite when you lose your focus. And you're dining at the devil's table one night and the Lord's table the next night. The things you do when you lose your focus, when you are dining at the devil's table, will be a stumbling block to those who watch your example. You might say, hey, Pastor, you might say, when I go to that place that I shouldn't go, I just go once in a while. What's it gonna hurt? Hey, that stuff that I look at online, I just look at it once in a while. What's it gonna hurt? Hey, those words that come out of my mouth once in a while that I really shouldn't say, but they just come out once in a while. What's it gonna hurt? I heard a story about a man who received a phone call, and the guy on the other end said, are you Mr. So-and-so? He said, yes. He said, this is the police. There's been an accident. Sir, we want you to come and make an identification. And the man replied, it's not my daughter. And the policeman said, it might not be. It might not be your daughter, but you need to come and you need to make an identification. And the man got in his car and he drove there, and when he got there, he pulled back the sheet. And even though her facial features were damaged in the car accident, he knew that it was his daughter. And he said, officer, how did this happen? And the officer says, we're not sure exactly, but we found a broken bottle of alcohol in the car. And the father said, someone gave her a bottle of liquor? Suddenly his grief turned into raging anger. And he said, man, if I find that person, if I find that scum that gave my wife liquor, I will tear him apart with my bare hands. And this grieving father went home with a mixture of grief and with anger. And when he got home, he wanted something to steady his nerves. So he went to his liquor cabinet and he opened the door. He put in his hand and reached for one of his liquor bottles, and instead he found a note. And the note said, Daddy, my friends and I wanted to celebrate. We borrowed your bottle. I hope you didn't mind. 1 Corinthians 8:9 says, take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak. Verse number 23, one more time. It says, all things are lawful for me, Paul says, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Verse 24, Paul continues and he says, let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. welfare is not speaking of money, but well-being. Seek another's well-being. Well, partaking of the Lord's table and the table of the devils damage my testimony for Christ? Hey, if you want to reach someone for Jesus Christ, let them see a difference in your life. Romans 12:2 says, "Be ye not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We as Christians, we receive the benefits of being believers in Jesus Christ all the time, each and every minute of each and every day, and it doesn't cost us a thing. But it cost Jesus something. He was mocked, he was beaten, he was bloodied. It cost him his life. And Jesus willingly paid the price for our sin. We have a word for that, and we call that sacrifice. Giving up of yourself for someone else. That's what Jesus did. The sinless for the sinful, the just for the unjust, the righteous for the unrighteous. Sacrifice. Jesus Christ deserves to have our total devotion in the church and outside of the church. Don't give Satan an inch, because they say if you give him an inch, he'll take a mile. The focus of the Lord's Supper, it's not the supper, it's the Lord, and it's his sacrifice. It's not about the food, but it's about what was finished, about what was accomplished. The cracker we eat and the juice that we drink, it's about remembering, it's about revering, it's about loving, and it's about following a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. Look with me at the last verse in this chapter, actually verse number 31. Paul writes, he says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do," and say it together with me, "do all to the glory of God." Don't lose your focus.